Over their riot-level chatter. Everybody congregated at his feet, everyone except for the Asian, who stood in front of John's door and scowled like he wanted to kick it down. Manuel suggested that we investigate legal options and file against Jonathan to try and recoup some of our losses. Avenues that would cost new cash to chase old cash. One of the women in the hallway blew out air that sounded like weeks, if not months, of frustration before she snapped, "There's no telling how many people he ripped off. That Asian man lost 100,000. I lost 3 grand. Another said, "It hurts like hell, but anything legal will take well over a year to settle. I've got a cleaning service to run, and I need every last dime of the capital I have." Most of you are probably in the same situation. We should just take this as a lesson learned and move on. Two more left without apologies. I didn't feel comfortable with non-black people attacking a brother. Not one of them would spend the night in our community, let alone spend a dollar where a black man roosted behind a cash register. But this wasn't about being black. This was about business. All about the green. Something must have happened. Like John had gotten ripped off at a higher level and we were feeling the trickle-down effect of his hard time. If the sheriff had ridiculed me and tacked an eviction notice on my door, I don't think I'd be in the mood to rap with people over a few dollars. I'd be somewhere attacking my liver with a fifth of Bacardi 151. Manuel said, "Everyone should contact this number if you hear anything. If you help one of us, you help all of us." A couple of brothers got off the elevator. Both were draped in gold designer clothes from head to toe. Each had thick upper bodies and weak legs. They looked like South Central Buffalo. They swaggered by without a word and stood in front of the door. They rumbled like an urban glee club. "Ain't this a bitch?" We told them what we were doing with the mailing list. The smaller of the two sneered. "What y'all plan on doing? Sending out Christmas cards?" Manuel explained to them what he hoped to accomplish. One of the buffalo had a hard expression that said he thought all of us were idiots for thinking about dealing with John on that level, but the other one nodded his head and sighed like he had come to the conclusion that he had nothing to lose. Signed the sheet of paper. Then both of those buffaloes snorted, about-faced, and left with slow and angry strides. I spent the rest of the morning in the sunshine and dry heat of Pasadena, on the streets of Old Town. Walking through the smog that spread over Colorado Boulevard, I held the classified ads in hand like a man in search of a dream deferred. The place I wanted to lease and turn into a photography studio, the opportunity that had been vacant for a few months in the heart of Old Town, was still there, waiting. But like any woman worth having, she wouldn't wait for long before somebody passed by and noticed her beauty, saw her true value. She would wait until she was seduced by some brother with a few more dollars in his pocket and better credit than I had on my TRW. A couple of nice-looking sisters, both caramel-coated and looking fine and wealthy in pastel-colored business suits, shades with yellow lenses and corporate temperaments, sailed across the street at the diagonal crosswalk. Came toward me like I was luring them in. I struggled for a little eye contact, then spoke and gave them compliments like they were the finest of the fine. They glanced at me, saw I was in Levi's, sandals, and a white T-shirt from the Minnie Riperton 10K, but they didn't stop their conversation or slow their stride. However, two or three white women on their heels gave me a peppy, "Hi." I said, "Hi." "I really like your hair. Awesome, dude." I ran a hand over my reddish-brown dreadlocks, my mane that hung below my shoulders, and smiled. "Thanks." The snow bunnies even glanced back and showed those pearly whites. The one in the Sienna miniskirt and white see-through top.